What's up, everybody? Welcome into Celtics Talk After the Buzzer, our brand new post-game pod. Yep, for all 82 or 109 or whatever this crazy journey is that the Celtics are about to embark on, we'll have post-game reaction after each one. And like all Celtics Talk this season, it's brought to you by the 24autogroup.com. You'll save more at 24. We start with the rundown. Here's what you're going to hear on today's pod. I'm going to give you a little opening tip, my thoughts from the game, just like we'll do after every night's game. And then we'll take you through some of our best post-game material, particularly from our post-game show, Celtics Post-Game Live and Post-Game Plus on NBC Sports Boston. Tonight, we're going to have immediate reaction from the Celtics win over the Hornets. Me, Amina Scow, breaking down how we're feeling, the good vibes that were flowing inside TD Garden as the Celtics put up a whole bunch of points over the Hornets, made a bunch of threes to win that game. We'll jump aboard the Fiondu Cabangeli hype train for a little bit and talk about some of Boston's crazy three-point shooting. And you'll also hear from interim head coach Joe Mazzulla, his post-game press conference. But let's get to the opening tip. And man, it's been a couple crazy weeks in Celtics land, and I keep going back to this. Jaylen Brown said something a couple weeks ago about how basketball is the best equalizer. And the notion being that as crazy as things have been around the Celtics and everything that happened with Ime Udoka and all the injuries and everything that left this a little bit of uncertainty heading into the year, once the team got back on the court, it felt like the focus was just on like, hey, this is a really good basketball team, a team that was probably minutes away from a 3-1 lead in the NBA Finals last year. And while it's going to be a long journey to get back there, the Celtics certainly starting on the right foot here against the Hornets. I mean, the ball was just whizzing all over the basketball court, knocking down threes. I'm not sure I expected this sort of offensive outburst, a 41-point victory in Joe Mazzulla's first game. And I just thought that you could tell there was some energy, some like, oh yeah, a reminder of how good this team can be, that despite all the outside noise and all the noise that they've had to deal with and that they're going to still have to deal with moving forward, that if the focus is on the product on the floor, this team is as talented as any team in the NBA, and they have another real chance here to compete for a title. You know, look, they just won a game by 41 points, and I don't even think Jason Tatum played that well. You know, had a few nice moments, but didn't have his shot going. This feels like typical Tatum, right? Like, starts the year a little slow, eases into things. Maybe you were hoping that Jason Tatum would get the ground running a little bit faster this year, especially after a disappointing finals performance. We'll wait till the regular season before we get too worked up about that. Jason Tatum's play is probably the least of our concerns when it comes down to it for the Celtics. I think you put the focus on beyond the concerning amount of turnovers. I'm not sure what the right adjective to go with was there, because that's something that has lingered since the finals. And if you felt like the Celtics could have won a 18th title if they took better care of the basketball in the NBA finals and really the playoffs as a whole, not great to see them kick it around as much as they did, but it is also the first preseason game. The flip side to all of that is the ball movement in the first half in particular, 22 baskets, 20 assists, just everything that you would hope the Celtics would play offensively. At one point, I think their effective field goal percentage was up at like 68% near the end of the half. Everybody that touched the floor seemed to be moving it willingly, pushing the pace, and creating open three-point shots and knocking them down. I think you saw immediate returns on the addition of Malcolm Brogdon. They went with a couple variations there. Sometimes they had three guards on the floor. There's one play in particular, I think Malcolm Brogdon's first three came off of like a Marcus Smart drive, and he pitched it out to Derek White, who shuffled it to Brogdon. So especially as the Celtics have to go small here at the start of the year, a chance for them to really lean into their depth there at the guard position. I thought Peyton Pritchard played well too, as deep depth. And like that backcourt really gives this team a chance to sort of weather the storm early while Rob Williams is getting healthy and now without Danilo Gallinari. But you say that, Sam Hauser comes in, you know, only had one summer league game and didn't shoot the ball particularly well. He knocks down his first four shots, making threes, and then had a nice cut to the basket for another hoop. So early positive returns for the guy who's probably going to get the first opportunity to fill the minutes vacated by Gallinari's injury. But like the hype trains didn't stop there. I thought you could see when Fiondu Cabangeli came in the game and just kicked up the energy level about 100 notches, diving on the floor. Marcus Smart is on the sideline waving his towel in excitement. And then he had like an and-one putback and was screaming in the face of a Hornets player. Look, the Celtics think they've found a little something here. And as you'll hear us talk about on the post-game show, you know, Fiondu was just looking for the right opportunity and maybe understood a little bit better after things fizzled with the Clippers. But a real chance here to not only, whether it's as a two-way player, whether it's elevating to the parent roster before the season, he's going to have an opportunity to get minutes here. The Celtics need size. They need guys that are energetic. And if he just buys into that sort of Clint Capella mold of running the floor and being an energy guy and playing above the rim on both ends, there's a role for him here at the start of the year while the Celtics get healthy. So, again, a lot of good vibes here. We have to wait till Wednesday night, a matchup with the Toronto Raptors to see if this was just, you know, is this a reflection of the Hornets and not having Gordon Hayward out there, not being a very good team, or is this just that the Celtics are sort of picking up where they left off at the end of last year? And again, that's good and that's bad. They got to clean up the turnovers, but if the offense plays anywhere near what we saw on Sunday afternoon and they clean up those turnovers, this team could be really dangerous because you know the defense is eventually going to be there, especially once Rob is back on the court. If they share the ball and if Brogdon gives them the extra boost like he did in this game, a lot to be excited about. And hey, we didn't even talk about like Jaylen just continues to be a first quarter menace and really set the tone. Just a lot to be excited about. And again, Missoula's first game, I don't know if there's any added motivation for the players there, but certainly it's got to feel good for him to go out there, get through the first game, get that one under his belt. Look, he was clean shaven today. You could tell he got the fresh haircut going. He understood the magnitude of the moment, but really important that he get comfortable over the first four games of these exhibition slate here and get the team ready for October 18th and that first matchup with the Philadelphia 76ers. All right, I need everybody like, subscribe. You know, like I said, just be ready. After every game this season, this podcast is going to drop. It's nice to be able to have that daily conversation with you guys. We'll still have Celtics talk during the week. Those will be maybe a little bit more big picture instead of being hyper-focused on each game and the sort of the ebb and flow of the season. We can tackle that here. Maybe we can dive a little bit more into player personalities and trends and what's going on around the team, get more guests from outside the organization to talk about these players and whatever lies ahead. But if game one of the preseason is any indication, a lot to be excited about this season. All right, check out the rest of our content coming up here. Let's start with our post-game reaction from me, Amina, and Scal, and we'll take you to the finish line of this episode.
Honestly, Forsberg, I didn't think it would be a beatdown like this, at least not to start the preseason.
The good vibes are back.
It's back. It's
right?
Back.
Like, I keep going back to this. Jaylen Brown said before the season started, basketball is a great equalizer. And the Celtics went through pretty much hell for the last 2 weeks of the offseason, and we all said, how would it manifest itself? And I'm not going to tell you off of one preseason game that I know that this is going to be just like a juggernaut steamroll, but there was a lot to like in that game. The Celtics were having fun out there. Once the focus got shifted back to basketball and the talent took over, it's clear that these Celtics have the potential to get back to the NBA Finals. And you can tell that just from this small glimpse. How it will manifest itself over the course of the regular season again, I don't know. But like it is clear the core of this team is on a mission to get back to that big stage.
It really feels like the Celtics picked up right where they left off at the NBA final stage. 40 assists in this matchup today. How did you see that manifest on the court?
Yeah, so the first thing was the pace was cranked up. I mean, if Tommy Heinsohn were here, he'd be so happy because, like, this is what we all wanted, that we knew if they move the ball, they got such good shooters on the perimeter, you're going to get opportunities, whether it's easy dunks at the rim. There was a bunch of lobs out there today, or just kicking to the perimeter and guys knocking down shots. I mean, just Grant Williams creating off closeouts. You know, you can see the advancement in some guys' games, and if they can keep that up, it's going to make this team just so much better. I mean, just the second unit in general. Think back to those finals and how much we lamented not having steady offense off of that group. And here's Hauser hitting shots and Brogdon creating and Grant Williams doing good things. So there's a lot of potential there to take the baton from a first unit that we already know is really good, and we'll see where they can take it.
Yeah, 41 assists in this game today. And actually last season, their game high was only 39. So starting off this season already on a high note. But what was the best thing that the Celtics were able to do out there on the court today?
I go back to the offense. I mean, they had 30. How many turnovers was it? What was the total number?
23, I think it came out to.
The one thing we're going to walk away and be like, ooh, the one thing they didn't do good was ball security. And certainly after the NBA Finals, that's something we want to see them do better. But to do that and still put up 130-something points is insane. If the Celtics can play offense and take better care of the basketball, they have unlimited potential with this group. And think about it. Like, Rob's not even out there yet to space the floor and be a rim threat. And so I just feel like that was what I walked away with thinking, all right, Jason Tatum didn't even shoot the ball good. Mm-hmm. And the Celtics were an offensive juggernaut. And maybe I'm just overvaluing what the Hornets are. I thought they'd show themselves a little bit better. But, man, the Celtics offense looked really, really crisp at the start of this season.
Yeah, putting up 134 points despite the 23 turnovers is good, but I would like to see those turnovers come down.
Just a little bit.
A look at Malcolm Brogdon's afternoons presented by 24AutoGroup.com. You'll save more at Route 24. 11 points for Malcolm Brogdon, 4-9 from the field, 2-6 from three, but 5 rebounds and also 9 assists. Ooh. Forsberg, what did you see out of Malcolm Brogdon in today's game?
You know, it's funny because one of his first shifts on the floor, it felt like he was kind of trying to figure out where he was supposed to be. Like, Marcus Smart was running the offense, and it was like, okay, am I stuck in the corner now? How do I get involved in the offense? And then all of a sudden, he took over the primary ball handling duties with the second group, and oh my God, it just sort of took off from there. And you can see just how much of a steadying presence he's going to be, just how much his ability to drive to the basket or push in transition is going to create opportunities for others. And look, this is why he's here. We all know the problems that happened in the playoffs with the second unit struggles, with the ball security. Malcolm Brogdon can solve a lot of that. He gives you a little bit of size at that guard position. He's going to give you defensive versatility at that end of the floor. But offensively, what he can do when you don't have Marcus out there or when you just need a steadying presence could be really vital for this team's success.
And the one concern with Malcolm Brogdon is making sure that he stays healthy for the entire season. But what makes him the right fit for this roster?
I just go back to it, the versatility. He checks all the boxes. The same reason the Celtics went out there and got Derek White at the trade deadline last year. Wanted a little bit of size, a guy that could play both guard positions, can defend up if necessary, and is familiar with the way they want to play basketball. And so as long as Malcolm Brogdon embraces this six-man role, and at the start of the year, maybe there's even more opportunity because you don't have Rob, and maybe you go small and move him up with that group, but there is an opportunity here for him to play a very pronounced role and find a way to solve maybe this team's biggest weak point last year, which was just sort of bench consistency. And having a veteran like that and just another guy you can confidently lean on makes him the perfect fit for this team.
And let's bring in Scal right now, who's live inside of TD Garden. And Scal, 41 assists for this Celtics team in their first preseason game. Why is pacing going to be a key factor for the Celtics this year?
Well, I think the 41 assists because they shot the ball so well. But the thing that really stood out to me is when they're running in transition, a lot of guys are running out to that three-point line, opening up the middle of the floor. If you collapse in on the Celtics, they'll make you pay from three. If you stay out, they got so many different guys. And you heard Chris just talked about versatility. We talk a lot about versatility defensively, but offensively, it's the same thing. You got multiple guys that can bring the ball up the court, but that's not it. They can also bring the ball up the court and crack their guy off the dribble, draw two in transition and move it. So today the offense was, I was not expecting this in the first preseason game, you know, new coach and all the things that should it take to kind of get up to speed. But the offense today was tremendous and it went back to spacing. Their spacing was great and that's why they got so many open shots.
And what is this team going to score when it doesn't have a billion turnovers? Mm-hmm. Is this going to be like 140? I guess, just as Cal said, I didn't have high expectations for the group on day one. And it's tantalizing to think about what they can do if they shoot this well, if they play with that sort of pace. This team can be very good.
And Jaylen Brown also with 24 points and 5 rebounds in this matchup. Scal, what was Jaylen Brown able to do best this afternoon?
I mean, it goes to what the Celtics were doing. Everyone was moving it. So Jaylen Brown was just taking advantage of that. Like, obviously, you know, he can get his shot off anytime he wants. But for Jaylen Brown to be successful, he has to have space to work. And I think the spacing today was completely locked in. And I was shocked by that because, you know, when you go into the offseason and everyone works, like, guys aren't harping on spacing. They're working on going one-on-one. These guys look like they've been playing team basketball for months together. And with all that happening, Jaylen Brown's going to have room to work. He's going to have space. Another thing I saw with a lot of opportunities for him on wide pin downs, for him to get the ball, turn the corner, and make a play. And I was really happy, not just the way that Jaylen Brown made shots and he had the points, but I was just happy by the decision-making of the team out there. Today, I felt like no one had an agenda. They were all out there hooping, and it was Jaylen Brown's night to take advantage of that. Another night, it could be Smart. It could be Tatum. It could be Al Horford. It could be any of these guys when you play basketball the way that they just play basketball.
The one thing I like is Jaylen was clearly their best player in the NBA Finals with the way that he was consistency and his offensive contributions, and he kind of picked up right where he left off. And we know we're going to see a little bit more. We saw the flash for maybe that little zip pass to Al there. Like, there's another – every year Jaylen Brown comes back ready to go to another level, and maybe this is a sign, like, hitting the ground running this year, that he really wants to get to that all-NBA caliber level, all-star level, whatever it is that Jaylen wants to aspire to.
Fiondu Cabangeli getting the Tommy Award, the first Tommy Award of the season. I like what I saw out there from him in terms of hustle and in terms of adding a little bit of spark out there on the court.
I mean, when he was screaming in that dude's face.
Yes,
like,
in the preseason.
I always love these preseason games. We rev up the hype trains, right? Like, J.D. Davison having a good fourth quarter. All right, people are super hyped now for him. And we got to figure out if it's Cabangeli or Cabangeli. We were told over the summer it was Jelly, and now it's Gelly, and I'm going to be messed up saying his name until we get the official. But he was awesome in terms of the first dive on the floor, and you could see, like, Marcus Smart was whipping the towel behind him. They think that they found a sort of diamond in the rough, a former first-round pick who sort of got pushed aside in Los Angeles because the Clippers had a loaded roster and he was trying to probably do a little bit too much. Now he comes here, has a good summer, shows that he can just do the Clint Capella type things, run the floor, throw down lobs, but then he mixes in some three-point shots, got a goaltend on one of these blocks early, but like shows he can be a vertical threat. And just as Gal said, with the Celtics so desperate for a little big man help here at the start of the year, I do think there's a role here for Fee. And I don't know how big it will be, and maybe when Robert Williams is healthy, he's just a two-way guy. But at the start of the year, he could be your backup big, like playing big minutes at that five spot. And I do think the Celtics are comfortable. That's why when they initially had those injuries with the likes of Gallinari, they didn't panic. There wasn't a scramble to go get a Blake Griffin type because they felt like Luke Kornet and Cabangeli could do this. And maybe they still feel that way. It's just as the depth gets eroded here before the start of the season, maybe they just felt like they needed a little something extra going into the year.
While we're trying to figure out if it's Cabangeli or Cabangeli, we'll just call him Big Fee for
Big
right
Fee.
Big Fee. I like that nickname. Let's move on to the three-pointers made in this matchup this afternoon. 22 of 47, oof, shooting 47% from beyond the arc. I mean, Forsberg, how did that show up in today's score? Really, again, 134 points.
Are we going to show them all? Because we might be here till like 4:30 if we do this. So, again, we knew this team is capable of knocking down threes. And there were times last year where they fall in love with it a little bit too much and we want them to go inside. But I felt like a lot of the threes tonight were the right kind, where it comes off a drive and kick, where guys are getting their feet in the paint, drawing a crowd, and tossing it back out. You know, you have the luxury now with a Sam Hauser, just put him in the corner. You got the luxury with a Malcolm Brogdon now, going in transition, being able to fire it out to one of these guys. The ability for the Celtics to better maximize their three-point shooting this year is there. And if guys like Derek White start getting a little bit more consistent with that shot, and if they pick the right ones, this team will be hard to beat.
I feel like you live and die by the three, but also I feel like last season with this Celtics team, they tried to get into a shootout with the Warriors in the NBA Finals, didn't work out so well. How much do they lean on that this season?
It's got to be a balance. But on nights like this, if they're going to give you good looks, if it all comes down to how you're creating it. If you are attacking the paint and then kicking it out, that's fine. If you're just settling for step aside threes or, you know, just taking bad looks, isolation plays, then I'm going to yell and scream at the TV monitor all day that these aren't the right plays. But if that's what they're giving you, and with the size stuff that you're going through without that big men around the basket. Maybe you just have to be more of a three-point shooting team for right now. And look, when you make all these, you can live with it.
Yeah, I'll take it for today. Right. 22 threes, I'll take that.
I didn't expect it for game one. I'll tell you that much.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Just start with general impressions. You said you had a bunch of things that you wanted to accomplish before the game. How did you accomplish what you wanted to?
I think so. Our guys tried to do the right thing. They played hard. And we got a lot on film that we can learn from. It's a balance. It's a balance of, you know, this is what we did well, but, you know, it doesn't really matter because, you know, we have to continue to get better.
You had a few minutes out there with Jason as the five when you went super small. What did you think of those lineups and how much do you see that being used moving forward?
Yeah, I'm not sure. That's kind of what the game presented at that time. And, you know, obviously a strength of ours could be our speed, our versatility, ability to play different ways. And so I just thought that was really good to just get on film and kind of see what it could be for us. But it wasn't something that we necessarily planned for.
Joe, 41 assists on 48 baskets. Just what has been, you know, how have you emphasized the ball movement to the team? What did you like that you saw out of that today?
Yeah, I mean, they want to play the right way. And so, like I said, they had great intentions. And it's just a matter of, you know, how can we make the right play on the offensive end? And it's something that they're willing to do.
Just wondering on your impressions. I know it's just an exhibition game, but it was your NBA coaching debut. How did it feel to be out there and calling the shots?
Felt like I was coaching a great team that wanted to win. That was fun to coach.
Coach, I don't like to use the word audition, but there's an opportunity for outside shooting. Can you talk about, without putting any agenda, with Sam's performance?
I thought he played well. Thought he was in the right spot, tried to make the right play. You know, like you said, we have a bunch of guys that have the ability to make shots, and we really play well together, and so he fits right into that.
Just kind of piggybacking off of that question, just how much are you relishing this opportunity to coach in the NBA for the first time?
Just grateful for it. Like I said, I'm grateful because it's the Celtics, grateful because I get to coach a bunch of great guys and great players, and not many people in my position get that opportunity. So I'm just really being more grateful than anything else.
Sorry, I know you're really enjoying talking about yourself, but did anything surprise you? And there, I mean, you know, we talk about it seems like a short move to being the first guy into that head coaching chair. Does the decisions you have to make in real time and that kind of thing, how did it feel for you?
It was fine. I mean, I'm going to make mistakes, bad ones. Just have to learn from them.
Do you feel like you made mistakes today?
Yeah.
Anything you want to tell us about?
Not yet. You'll probably see him eventually.
Just what went into starring Derek, and what do you, is that something you anticipate kind of moving with, or is it just one of these, it's early in preseason, we're just trying a bunch of things?
Just trying different things, trying to figure out, you know, what our depth and versatility is and how we can take advantage of that throughout the season. You know, it's a long year, and we're going to play a lot of different ways. And so today we just started with that way, you know, small, and what we can get from that. So we'll try a bunch of different things.
And you went to Noah
second off the bench, and then he started the second half. What have kind of seen from him so far, and do you anticipate other of those camp guys getting bigger opportunities in these other games?
No, they will, for sure. I liked how Noah just fit right in. I think the most important thing is, can our defense stay the same regardless of who's on the floor? And Noah was in decent position for the majority of the game. He communicated, and he played physical.
Coach, the backcourt of Marcus Smart and Malcolm Brogdon, is that something that you think – well, first of all, what did you make of the performance today? And is that a direction you think you'll go in terms of a starting lineup, even if it's just for preseason?
I mean, I'd like to keep versatility. I think there's so many great teams in the league. And one thing where we got good at last year was our ability to be flexible in what we do. And so I want to try to maintain that as much as we can. I think it's important. And as far as Smart and Brogdon, like, they're two – players that have great intentions that are physical on both ends of the floor and want to make the right play. And so I really noticed that today. And, you know, those two have great leadership. They're out there to make other people better. And all our guys are, to be honest with you.
For Fee, obviously, he only played 11 minutes, but very high energy. I guess, what do you see out of him in practice, too? Obviously, same thing as Summer League.
Felt like he played more because of his presence. And so I think that's exactly what we're looking for, regardless of how much time you have. What's your presence? You know, where is it felt? Same thing as Noah. What's our defense like when you're on the floor, and then how do you help our offense? And I thought, you know, his presence was great.